And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Exodus of Asher Levy, was written by Morton Wishengrad and is presented in celebration of Passover.
This is how it began. 5 days out of New Amsterdam, a strange sail was sighted.
Off there! Is she French or is she Spanish?
It was the 11th day of September in the year 1654. Until this moment, our ship had voyaged all the way from Brazil without event.
Hello! Speak up! Do you make out her line?
Aye, sir, I do now!
What is she?
A pirate!
He was not deceived. She was a pirate. Two hours after mid-morning, we were boarded. Each passenger was ordered to bring on deck all his money, his clothing, his worldly possessions. Maria and I brought the little we had.
Your jewels, madam.
In this handkerchief.
Thank you. You may keep your wedding ring. You look startled.
I am.
Why, madam?
You are a pirate.
Oh, I'll tell you what a pirate is. A merchant given to maritime speculations who employs cutthroats to steal from the Dutch what the Dutch have just stolen from the English, and the English have already stolen from the French, and the French have previously stolen from the Spanish. Your earrings, madam, you forgot to remove them.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
You are very kind. Sir, your money and your books. What amuses you?
A pirate who seizes books.
Why not? The aim of every pirate is to acquire enough wealth to enable him to bribe his king to make him a nobleman. Or at least an ambassador. I wish to be a cultured ambassador.
Well, these are the wrong books for an ambassador, my friend. They say, thou shalt not bear false witness.
You have a sense of humor. What is your name?
Asher Levy Van Swellum. This is my wife, Maria.
You were both unwise to leave Brazil.
We were given no choice. The Dutch have evacuated Bahia, and the Portuguese will not permit us to follow our religion.
You are Jews?
Yes. We shall find a haven in New Amsterdam.
Ah? Ha, ha. A haven with Peter Stuyvesant and Cornelius Van Tienhoven and the colony over which they preside.
Can you suggest a better place? Or another place?
I am always irritated by questions I cannot answer. Ask your questions in New Amsterdam. My respect to you, madam. Your husband is a fool.
If he found me a fool, he left me both a fool and a beggar. For when our ship cast anchor in New Amsterdam Harbor, we were unable to pay the ship's captain for our passage.
Captain, I believe that I am next.
Does this cloak belong to you, madam?
Yes, Captain, it does.
And these shoes, these gowns?
Mine.
I must take them, madam.
I suppose you must.
Believe me, I regret the necessity. But after all, you have not paid me in full for your passage. Do you have any other possessions?
A mattress filled with goose down. My grandmother.
Oh, I hope you will forgive me. It's a difficult thing I must do.
You shouldn't apologize. It's your duty.
You feel sorry for me?
If I did not, I would be feeling sorry for myself.
I shall not dispose of these goods without giving your husband an opportunity to redeem them.
It is kind of you, Captain. I shall tell my husband.
Oh, come, come, let's get on with it.
Who's next?
I am. The prophecy of Job. Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return thither. What the pirate forgets, the captain takes. Well, no one can say we aren't making a clean beginning in this new land.
We bore him no malice for it. The captain seized what remained of our baggage. Blankets, quilts, clothing, even the Sabbath kerchief that belonged to the women. 22 Jews disembarked in New Amsterdam Harbor, the month of September 1654. 22 Jews, immigrants, bewildered, penniless, plucked clean. And in this situation, we were met at the waterside by a stranger.
I am an old settler in New Amsterdam. I arrived here last month.
That was intended to be a joke. You should laugh. The minimum, you should smile.
When the Portuguese drove us out of Brazil, they made numerous jokes. And the pirate who removed our last possessions was a man of real wit. It would be reassuring if you were less humorous, even a little sour.
You will find sourness enough without me.
We didn't come...
I'm Maria Levy Van Suela. My husband's name is Usher. Who are you?
Men call me Jacob Bar Simon. Jacob, the son of Simon. Blessed be they who come to this new land.
Blessed be he who makes us welcome.
Nicely spoken, Maria.
You no longer smile, Jacob Bar Simon.
Tonight, all this week, you will find lodging in a place I have taken for you.
And after this week?
I cannot say.
We will make provision for ourselves.
You must not count on it.
Bar Simon, what is it? You hold something back.
I have been instructed by the Honorable Peter Stuyvesant, the Honorable Cornelius Van Tienhoven, and the Honorable Nicatius de Sille to inform you that your presence is unwelcome here in New Amsterdam.
I am a Dutch citizen. This is a colony of the Dutch India Company.
Usher Levy, they are aware of it. They ask us all to leave. I am included.
What is the official reason this time?
It is feared that owing to our present indigence, we may become charges during the coming winter.
Oh. And the real reason?
What do you suppose? Take comfort. Quakers, Roman Catholics, and other Lutherans are also excluded.
I see. Bar Simon, you have been here longer. What do we do?
There are two choices, Levy. We may obey and leave on the first boat.
The first boat? To where?
I agree with you. The remaining choice is that we resist the expulsion order.
Tell us how.
Stuyvesant and the others have no real authority. They may only make suggestions to their superiors in Holland. Let us appeal to those same superiors.
For what do we appeal?
For justice. For the right of peaceful domicile.
A small hope.
But a hope, nevertheless. And while we wait, let us console ourselves that Holland is Holland and not Spain. Do we agree upon an appeal?
We wrote our appeal to the Dutch West India Company in Old Amsterdam. We settled as best we could in New Amsterdam to await our fate. And though we waited days, weeks, months, we did not allow ourselves to remain idle. We found useful employment. And we gave to the colony of New Amsterdam whichever arts we possessed. In the manufacture of candles, in work in gold and silver, in the making of cord and mats and sailcloth. And when it came around to the season of Passover, Maria had spread a clean cloth. The unleavened bread which she had baked was on the table, and the shank bone of the paschal lamb and the bitter herbs.
Jacob Bar Simon, blessed be he who comes.
And blessed be she who makes me welcome. Where shall I sit, Maria?
At my husband's right hand.
Well, I suppose we must begin.
So morose, Bar Simon.
If you will give me some reason for gaiety, I shall be glad to be gay.
It is the first Seder of Passover.
Are we less in bondage than the Israelites who were under the taskmasters of Pharaoh? Come, Maria, if I am to be gay, I shall require a better reason.
Usher and I are going to have a child. Bar Simon, aren't you going to smile?
No, Maria.
And no congratulations?
Slaves in Egypt who give birth to a smaller slave in a new Egypt. Usher Levy, it would have been better that there be no birth at all.
Maria and I discussed it. I was of your opinion, Bar Simon.
It is our first Passover. Let us begin the Seder.
What I have to say belongs to Passover. Bar Simon, Maria wants this child. Tell them, Maria.
Something I heard from my own grandfather in Portugal before the expulsion. It was also a Passover night. and my grandfather related over the matzah and the bitter herb that when Pharaoh gave orders that all the Israelite male children be destroyed, there was a man named Amram and his wife Jochebed who decided to separate from each other lest they bear a son who should be slain.
You see, Bar Simon, we still live in history, and history lives in us. Go on, Maria.
And so Amram and Jochebed finally agreed to separate. That was wise of them, Bar Simon, wasn't it?
It's your story, Maria.
Your story, too, Bar Simon. You are an Israelite. And Amram and Jochebed did not separate because their daughter Miriam cried out, Pharaoh would kill only the male children. But you are bringing about the extinction of the entire people of Israel. She spoke what was true. They knew it. And so they had a son whose name was Moses.
And shall we wait for a Moses to be born to lead us out of this bondage of waiting, of not knowing?
Bar Simon, you were the one who counseled resistance.
I know. I remember. Forgive me, this is a happy time for you and a happy festival. I will hold my tongue and let you conduct the service.
The Passover Seder is a meal, but so much more than a meal. It is a sharing of history between those of common memory. To sit as a family about the festive table, each thing in its ancient place, each where he belongs, asking the immemorial questions, repeating the immemorial answers, each one teacher by turn, student by turn, each one reciting the dear and the familiar passages.
Slaves were we of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord our God brought us forth with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Had he not done so, surely we and our children's children would still be slaves. Therefore, even if all of us were clothed in wisdom and full of understanding and greatly learned in the tradition, we would be commanded nevertheless to recite once more the story of the Exodus out of Egypt. And he who delights to dwell on the liberation, he is a man to be praised.
Bar Simon, will you continue?
Story is told of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Joshua, Rabbi Akiba, and Rabbi Tarfon. How they sat at a table once in B'nai Barak and talked through the night about the wonders of the liberation from Egypt.
I will see you again.
Now stay where you are, Maria.
This, I believe, is the residence of Asher Levy Van Swellen.
It is, Mynheer.
I see that you're at table. My most profound apologies. Allow me to introduce myself.
That will not be necessary, Mynheer.
So you recognize me? I am flattered.
Everyone knows the name of Cornelius van Tienhoven, the tax collector. Will you enter?
I will do that, my friend, and I will thank you.
A chair for Mynheer van Tienhoven.
Do not trouble yourself. My business requires but a moment.
Yes.
My friends, New Amsterdam is an exposed city. Exposed to attacks from Spanish cruisers and pirates, to assaults from the Indians, to the encroachments of the English and even the French. Therefore, it is necessary to post a military guard at all times, day and night. You follow me?
We do, Mynheer.
Orders have been issued by the Governor General for the enlistment of all able-bodied adults between the ages of 16 and 60.
I can speak only for myself. I am ready to serve.
I am also ready, Mynheer. I know the use of a musket.
We are not ready to accept dissenters, heretics, blasphemers, or pagans in the guard. Therefore, it has been decided by the council to levy a monthly tax upon each Jewish male of 65 stivers. Twice 65 makes 130 stivers. You may pay me now.
And should we refuse to pay?
That would be most unfortunate.
Jacob Bar Simon.
You want to know whether you may speak for me? You may.
Thank you. Mynheer Tienhoven, neither Jacob nor I will pay the tax.
I will note it down. Your reason, please.
We are ready to serve in the guard.
Make it stronger. We insist on the right to serve in the guard.
I have made a note of it. In the name of the Governor General, I order you, Asher Levy Van Swellen, and you, Jacob Bar Simon, to appear tomorrow morning before the Council of New Amsterdam, there to receive such penalties and such judgment as the Council, in its wisdom, decides.
He left. We closed the door after him. But his presence remained. It lay in the bitter herb on the plate before us, reminding us keenly how the Egyptians had made bitter the lives of our forefathers. The bitterness was all over, everywhere, in the unleavened bread, in the white cloth now stained with wine, in Maria's face, in my own heart.
We are moping. Let us not mope on the Passover. Either go on with the Seder, or call a meeting of the 23 Jews of New Amsterdam.
We called the meeting.
Oh,
and under the stars of that first Passover night, we met.
Who shall speak?
Let it be Moses Ambrosius.
Ambrosius, Levy, and Bar Simon have spoken for themselves. You speak for us.
I don't understand this. Are there two ways of speaking on this question?
Are you surprised?
Ambrosius, there is only one truth.
And each man has his own way of declaring it. Asher Levy, Bar Simon, you are children. Look what you have done. We wait, holding our breath, for Holland to act upon our appeal. We walk as though on eggs, circumspect, fearful, frantic, lest we give offense, desperate for the good opinion of the burghers of New Amsterdam. And look what you do.
What did you do, Ambrosius?
I behaved like an adult, Asher Levy. I realized what was important and what was unimportant. To be permitted to remain here is important. The tax is unimportant.
You paid the tax.
Of course I paid the tax.
David Israel, did you pay?
Naturally.
Salvador?
Yes?
Lucena, did you pay?
Every single one of us paid. Except you. Except Bar Simon. You will be ordered to leave immediately. Expelled. And we shall be expelled with you. This is what you have done to us, Asher Levy.
Well, Levy, what do you have to say?
I'm ashamed.
Well, I should think
you should be ashamed.
Not of myself, Salvador. Of you. We are in Egypt, and you would remain in Egypt. You would remain a slave in bondage, and I would live here only as a free man.
Careful, Levy.
Oh, you're the careful one. I'm not. So careful of the smiling toleration of your enemies, you would barter your self-respect for it.
Hold your tongue. We have acted with wisdom, and you know it.
Dear God, there is a time when wisdom can be cowardice. There is a time when safety and security are the same as meanness. You're my friends, you're my brothers. I've shared your suffering, and I love you because of it. But I will tell you now that you have yielded to a vicious tax. And in paying, you have deprived yourself of manliness.
Let us have done with words. Nothing will be gained except acrimony. It is proper that we go back to our Passover table.
All right, Levy, you can come home now.
You've said what had to be said.
Not everything, Bar Simon. I have something else to say. You can find it in the Talmud. You can learn that not all the Israelites quit the land of Egypt. They refused to follow Moses into the wilderness because the wilderness was something unknown and they preferred their slavery. Vile as it was, mean as it was, evil as it was, they preferred it to the risks and the uncertainties of freedom. They chose to be safe. They chose slavery. That was their wisdom.
Asher Levy, who taught you to speak such an harsh word?
A harsher circumstance and a harsh fact.
Perhaps you are right. I no longer know. In any case, whatever happens, we shall not desert you or Jacob Bar Simon. We shall be in the council hall tomorrow when they call you for judgment.
On a Passover day in the year 1655, Jacob Bar Simon and I stood before Peter Stuyvesant, before the burgomaster, before the sheriff and the alderman of New Amsterdam, to receive judgment for refusing to pay a tax. There was no friendship in their faces. There was a look almost of relief to be rid of us so easily. Mynheer Cornelius van Tienhoven stated the case against us and then submitted to a few perfunctory questions.
You testify that these are the men?
Levy and Bar Simon, Governor Stuyvesant.
They refused to pay the tax?
Utterly.
You made clear that penalties for such a refusal would be exacted.
I did.
Are there any questions from members of this council?
The case is open.
Asher Levy van Svelum.
Yes, Mynheer.
Do you wish to deny the fact alleged?
No, Mynheer. I refuse to pay the tax.
You admit it?
Yes, Mynheer. We both admit it. Bar Simon and I.
What have you to say in your defense before we pass judgment?
Mynheer Governor, Burgomaster, Sheriffs, Aldermen, Burgers of New Amsterdam. Tell me what my crime is.
You refuse to pay a tax.
Not so. I refuse to evade the responsibilities of freedom.
My dear fellow, speak so that this court can understand your meaning.
I shall try, Mynheer.
Until
Holland renders a verdict on our appeal, we are suspended in limbo. not citizens of New Amsterdam, yet not entirely free of the perils that befall all citizens. If there is an attack against us from the sea, the cannon and the shot of our enemies will not discriminate, nor will they wound citizens in preference to those who are not citizens. If the Indians shoot their arrows against us, I assure you they will shoot interfaith arrows, rendering equal death and equal danger to my wife as well as to your wife.
All the more reason, Levy, why you should support the military guard with your taxes.
Such taxes are for the sick and the aged. I am young enough to carry a musket.
Quite so. But in your case, it is not allowed.
Then disallow the danger.
I cannot do that. There is danger so long as there are enemies of New Amsterdam.
Then grant me the right to bear arms against that danger.
No, Levy, I will not.
My wife is in danger. She carries a child not yet born. That child is in danger.
We will protect them, and we will protect you.
A slave is protected. A free man is never protected. Peter Stuyvesant, what do you wish to grow in New Amsterdam? Slaves or free men?
You raise an interesting point. I shall have to think about it.
Oh, but I have thought about it. The Passover service, which I celebrate again tonight, is all about it. My ancestors wrote their commentaries about it, and your ancestors, too, Peter Stuyvesant.
Correct.
No, it is so. Mynheer, I have discovered a truth in myself. Such a deep truth. That a man cannot call himself free who has no burdens. That a man can't be free without peril. That he who chooses security and safety gives up freedom for it. Mynheer, I ask no mercy. I request no charity. I would receive no protection. Give me the right to bear arms. It's my responsibility.
Cornelius Van Tienhoven?
Yes, Governor.
You baited your trap with cheese, but you brought home not a mouse, but a bear. What do you say to him?
It's quite obvious, Mynheer. If New Amsterdam is attacked, I would feel a good deal more secure if the bear were fighting on our side.
That is your answer, Asher Levy. You will be expected to report tonight carrying your musket.
Mynheer, tonight Jacob Bar-Simon and I are busy.
I beg your pardon?
Well, tonight is the second Seder of Passover. But we shall report tomorrow night with our muskets, if it pleases you.
So be it. This meeting is declared adjourned.
On a night of Passover, a judgment of liberation was pronounced upon us. And a few weeks later, there arrived from Holland a ship with a letter from the directors of the West India Company. A letter which Maria saved for her child and for all her children in America.
We have received a petition made by certain Jews, immigrants from Brazil to New Amsterdam. We find their request for domicile in New Amsterdam consistent with reason and justice. They shall have permission to sail and to trade there, to live and remain there and to exercise their religion in all quietness. And you are directed to govern yourself accordingly.
On Passover night, the words are, "We will utter thanks to thee, O Lord our God, for the inheritance of a broad and pleasant land, for our liberation from Egypt and our redemption from the house of bondage, for the covenant which thou hast sealed upon our flesh, for thy Torah, for thy laws, for the gift of life."
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Arye Lev, Director, Division of Religious Activities, National Jewish Welfare Board. Rabbi Lev.
Today we have Asher Levites by the thousands serving their country the world over. At their side are Jewish chaplains caring for their morale and religious needs. During this week of Passover, Siddurim will be held in hundreds of camps throughout the United States and overseas. The armed forces have spared no effort to ensure the Jewish personnel the opportunity to attend those Siddurim. The religious supplies for this occasion The Haggadahs, the matzahs, the wine have been provided by the National Jewish Welfare Board. An Air Force chaplain is being flown to a group of 30 lonely Jewish men on an island in the North Atlantic so that those men may be able to serve God while serving their country. In the midst of the Longhorn maneuvers in Texas, Jewish GIs will have special passes to go through the lines of aggressor or friendly troops in order to reach their destination, which is a Seder for 2,000 men at Fort Hood. Only in a country where religion is part of the moral fiber of the armed forces could such a miracle occur. How much our service personnel appreciate this effort can be gleaned from a letter I recently received from Chaplain Herbert Brichtow in Korea. Quote, "They come in jeeps, they come in open trucks, in ambulances, and even afoot, those in the reserves and those on the line. They come tired and dirty, but triumphant. They cram into the tents, sit on tables and on benches. They stand in the aisles leaning on their rifles, privates and sergeants, lieutenants and captains, and even an occasional colonel. When they chant the Shema, even the wind whipping about the tent is silenced. What do they get out of the service? As always, what they come to seek, and in proportion to what they have brought with them. They welcome a chance to pray for safety and health, to beseech God's care for those they love, to thank Providence for their continued well-being, or to say a fervent prayer for peace. They want to be told that there is a God who cares whether they live or die and how they live and die. They want to hear the word and the message that tells them they are remembered." End of quote. These are the men who, together with Asher Levy of old, guard our ramparts. Let us wish them a happy Passover and pray that L'Shana Haba, next year, they will be back with their loved ones.
Thank you, Rabbi Lev. Our Eternal Eye drama today, The Exodus of Asher Levy, was written by Morton Wishengrad and was presented in celebration of the Festival of Passover. Featured in the cast were Norman Rose as Asher Levy, Joan Loring as Maria, and Joseph Wiseman as Bart Simon. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Caton. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Edward King, Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.